Back into a Friday edition of the Daft on Draft podcast, the first edition of some positional rankings that we're going to start doing on the weekly here. So we'll span into 6 to 10 and maybe a little deeper next week talking about these running backs. But
I think it's probably worth going deeper.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep class of draftable guys. We'll talk about it a little bit, but I was actually kind of a little bit, based on how we talk about the running back class, a little bit disappointed about the lack of day two grades that I thought I would have in this class, given how we talk about it. But we'll talk about that probably a little bit more on Monday. Today, we're going to talk about running backs 1 through 5. And Dalton and I have the exact same list. We've talked about it off air. We do have one flipped, though, so we'll talk about that. But I don't think there's anything else to do but dive in. But before we do, I can't do that by myself. Dalton, how has your running back adventure been?
It's been good. As I've watched more, because I did like initial watchings when I was doing the PFN top 100, and I was kind of speed running through that to get all of that done. So I was doing like one or two games, getting an initial feel for guys. And as I watched more and more, I became a little bit less impressed with most of the guys that I watched. A lot of grades have dropped since then. Guys have fallen in out of the top 10. Guys, you know, kind of elevated themselves up into it. But my top five has not changed. The only change in my top five was Nick Singleton going back to school, and that's it. Yeah. A new name, I guess, did hop into the top five. But it's just because I didn't get around to his tape until now, because I didn't think he was going to declare for the NFL draft, and then he did. So I'm glad he did, because he was a nice little palate cleanser after watching some truly horrific running backs who are getting legitimate day two and, you know, early day three hype. So we'll talk about that eventually. I don't really like to poo-poo on guys specifically, but you gotta, there's a couple of litmus tests out there, yeah. I think, in this running back class. Anyways, let's get into it, because this top five is fun to talk about.
It is. And this is where I want to kind of caveat, you know, we've talked a lot about the running back class. I do like the high end top five backs in this class a lot, even though I just kind of said, like, I'm kind of disappointed in the overall depth compared to what I thought it would be. And again, you can still find some really good running backs on day three.
I think there's a lot of NFL niche level. I think there's a lot of niche guys. And I think that there's a lot of guys who are like, okay, receivers, mm-hmm. good pass protectors. And so, like, they can get on the field, but they're just, like, not super explosive. Mm-hmm. Or they're super explosive. They can get in and out. And they have good vision, but they fumble the ball all the time and they can't catch the ball. Or it's something like that. Yeah. And so there's, like, niche guys where you can find them a role, but it has to be a very specific role.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a running back, maybe a couple, who might be better off kind of in little gadget roles. As well in this class as well, that we'll talk about probably more in depth on Monday. But let's dive in. I don't think, should we start at five and work down to one, or should we start at one because everybody knows who one is?
I think everybody knows who one is. I think we can just go that way.
Okay. So yeah, obviously one is Boise State's Ashton Jeanty in this running back class. He is my third overall player in this draft class. I would put him, see, stacking him up against other running backs historically over the past few years, I think we disagree a little bit. Like, I don't think he would be in that Saquon tier of running backs. I don't know if he would be in that Bijan tier of running backs, but he's teetering right there, I think, in that tier of obviously guys that are worthy of going first round. But I would see, when I like think about Bijan, his ability to catch the ball and the alignment versatility piece that he can bring, plus what he can do between the tackles and the fluidity that he brings at his size. But that's not to take away, again, Ashton Jeanty is my third overall prospect in this class. So the contact balance, I mean, obviously Doug Martin isn't a comp, because I think he's way more explosive than Doug Martin was, but like still has that muscle, that Boise State muscle hamster build to him where he just plays with that natural level center of gravity and can just like get into dudes' chests and through dudes' chests. And both long speed and initial burst is there in his game. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, even if they don't use him as a weapon in the passing game, maybe as much as they could. Looking at their quarterback play, they needed to hand the ball off to him 350 times this year, right? So, like, I think maybe there is a little bit more leniency of what you can do with him at the NFL level versus just Boise State putting bricks on his back and asking him to carry the whole house. But other than that, I what else do we have to say about Ashton Jensen?
Yeah, I mean, he's everything that I love in a back. Mm-hmm. And when we get in the conversation about Saquon or Bijan, I think what kind of differentiates him is just the completeness in his game. Saquon is a bigger home run hitter. Saquon is 6'1", 230 pounds, and the best athlete I've seen at the running back position, and it's not even particularly close. Yeah. He was also able to catch the ball out of the backfield like a freak of nature. Just the vision with him wasn't there the way that it is with JT. And I think that JT is better between the tackles, in my opinion, than Bijan, although Bijan did have positional versatility and he was a fantastic receiver. Mm-hmm. To be able to hit 21, you know, bordering on 22 miles an hour at 5'8" is ridiculous.
Yeah.
His long speed at 5'8", 200, nearly 220 pounds is asinine. It doesn't make sense that he is able to get to where he's going. And, you know, you brought up Doug Martin, and from a build perspective, I agree. But there's that Marshawn Lynch to him, to where the dude just does not go down. He just doesn't go down. And it is the low center of gravity. It is the outrageous explosiveness in his lower half. And it's part of the reason why he's able to be 5'8" and run 21 miles an hour, because of that explosiveness in his lower half. The touches are piling up. And I always like to point out that he did lead all backs in receiving yards in 2023 in college football. So it's there. And it was shown in 23. They just turned around and handed him the ball instead of throwing it to him this year. So I think he is the most complete back that I have watched. Although I do think his ceiling isn't as high athletically as Saquon is. And I think as Saquon has matured and gotten better, and then also playing behind the best line in football, you see what that outlandish athletic upside is able to bring. But that's the other big thing with JT is forced missed tackles and explosive runs. And when you're talking about drafting a guy in the top 15, you have to be awesome at everything, but especially be able to create explosive plays, because nothing in the NFL offensively matters more than being able to create explosive plays. It's why Jameson Williams is so freaking valuable, even though he only catches 3 passes a game.
Yep.
Because he's going to go 3 for 90. He's going to go 3 for 120. And explosive plays are the one guarantee for scoring points in the NFL. That's it. Sustaining drives is very, very hard to do. But if you can bust off a 44-yard run, that is a huge bump to your offense, obviously. But it's just really hard to sustain drives. And if you're going to a bad football team, if he goes to the Raiders with bad quarterback play, explosive plays are going to be necessary.
Yep.
Who's your number two?
Yeah. So sitting at number two, we've talked a lot about him as well. He was in both of our top 25s. It's Iowa's Caleb Johnson. Again, just the sweetest feet in the class. He's probably only a 4'5" athlete, but at 6'1", 220, he just moves so well. His hips are so fluid at that size. His contact balance represents the size that he is as well. As a pass catcher, again, not asked to do a whole lot, but when he is targeted, I think he shows pretty soft hands. Pass pro can be a little bit better, but again, the frame to be coached up, the level of physicality as a runner in contact balance to know that the punch is there, to coach that up as well. But when we're talking about vision, man, like this guy's eyes are just tremendous. Just tremendous in terms of being able to feel out backside cuts, hit backside cuts, know when it's time to just hit it and pick up what he can. And then when he gets to the second and third level as well, I see a lot of backs in this class. It's honestly been a pet peeve of mine is watching some guys today. They'll get through that first level and then they'll drop their eyes, immediately drop their eyes and tuck the football and just look to just turn out what they can. Where I think Caleb Johnson does an excellent job of keeping his eyes up, finding second level cuts, finding green grass, and then hitting it. And we can talk about the speed all we want, but like he's up there in terms of in the entire nation of breakaway runs as well, of 15 plus. So I do think the juice is there. It's more of that 10 yard split to really get up and go and then just kind of stride it out once he gets out a little bit there. Because again, I don't think the long speed is tremendous, but smooth, fluid, excellent eyes. Like that's the making of a running back you can hand the ball to 20 times a game and expect it to get you 100 yards consistently at the NFL level.
Yeah. And you brought up the explosive plays. He's not necessarily a 70 yard guy, but he is a guy who consistently creates 15 to 20, 25 yard runs. And you're right. He's not. And I think this is why he's such a polarizing prospect. I think it's because people don't see the athleticism. Mm-hmm. And they just think he's another guy from Iowa behind a fantastic offensive line. But when you watch a running back, and I'm so glad that you brought this up, second and third level manipulation of the eyes and ability to make guys miss because you have your head up and you know what your next move is going to be. This dude is an A-plus speed chess player. That's what he is at the running back position. On top of, like you said, having, I mean, Rex Ryan would go nuts for his feet. they are legitimately outrageous. I've never seen, I have said a lot of things, made a lot of analogies when it comes to his feet. For me, it's like a wire-guided missile. They just go the exact, precise direction they need to go, because there are missiles we possess in the United States where they can literally curve around buildings to hit their target. That's what his feet do. His feet find the crease. His feet have its own brain. He is like a vehicle, and then he has two hybrid engines in the rear wheels that are just churn in on their own, and they have torque vectoring, so they're able to turn and burn at any point. The right goes a little bit more, the left goes a little bit more, and he finds every single crease. He is the best pure runner at the first level that I have ever watched. The only thing keeping him low is the lack of pass catching volume that we've seen from him, the lackluster pass protection, and the lack of being able to run a 4.4.
Yep.
That's it. He's outrageous.
Yeah. I completely agree. And again, the pass catching thing is a thing where, like, actually he catches the ball really well. They just don't throw it to him a lot as well. Exactly. So like, yeah. I'm all aboard Caleb Johnson. I think some team could get quite a bargain, even in the back end of the first round, especially if he drops to the early part of the second round, which he could, because teams want explosive playmakers. And if they see his long speed, you never know. Again, that's not what we're saying here. We're saying we'll take him regardless because of his play speed is tremendous. Again, I think I've said on the pod before, but when I had Jordan Reed on, ESPN's Jordan Reed on, to talk about like what to watch for and watching running backs, he's like, you know, if you're a 4.3 guy, but you don't know what you're looking at and your brain can't keep up, like you're a 4.5 guy in the field. If you're a 4.5 guy and your brain knows what it's doing, you're a 4.5 guy in the field. So he's a 4.5 guy through and through because I think he's got some of the best, most decisive eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who do you got at number three?
I have North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton. And this hurts me a little bit. This hurts me a little bit because at number four is my favorite player. ever to watch, almost. Antoine Winfield Jr. is probably number one. Vita Vea is probably up there. But the next guy on my list might be number three, Omarion Hampton. The first thing I have in my notes, no-nonsense runner. North-south, puts his foot in the dirt. I think when it comes to first-level and second-level burst, he's got some of the best that I've seen in the past couple of classes. Being 220 pounds and having that, there's a reason why he doesn't force a bunch of missed tackles, per se, but he breaks a ton of tackles. And it is because nobody is coming to him with the same amount of violence defensively from a reactive position that he is able to bring with his body at the first level.
Yeah.
That's it. He's able to play low. He runs through his pads. He's got that lower leg drive. But what I also like, especially this year, is the vision absolutely improved in 2024. He's always been a fine gap runner. And listen, guys, gap stuff isn't that difficult. It's the zone stuff that I worried about a little bit with him. A lot like Javonte Williams. And listen, Javonte was not a bad comp for Omarion Hampton. I know that they played at the same school, but very similar running styles. I think Hampton is more explosive. I think that he has better vision, especially in zone concepts now. I think he has the willingness and power to stand up in pass pro. He beats the crap out of guys sometimes in pass pro. I think he's got enough long speed and enough flexibility in his hips to turn the corner. The only thing that really keeps him lower for me is that he's not creative at the second and third level. He is a guy who can make kind of minor movements and can sometimes, you know, gear down and jump cut, but he would rather just kind of turn a shoulder and kind of like run through you or try to take a glancing blow and absorb that contact and stay up more than have the creativity to actually make a guy miss. And that's always what made the difference between him and Nick Singleton to me, was Singleton was more creative at the second and third levels, being able to make guys miss at that same size. And it's just kind of that lack of patience at times that you were talking about at the next level to see that gap and to create that explosive play. But he's got the long speed. So
yeah, he absolutely
and
does.
He can catch the ball and he can catch a lot of backfield too.
Yeah, it would not shock me if he came out and he ran like a 4.42. Wouldn't shock me at all.
No, his 10-yard split's got to be nutty.
Oh, like, it's got to be nutty. Yeah.
But that's the other issue with it. It's like if his 40 technique isn't honed in, he might not test all that well. But like you can tell when you watch him, nobody's getting through the hole quicker than he is.
Yeah, for sure. So Hampton is my number four guy. I'm going to talk about your favorite player in the class is my number three guy here. So this is the only difference that Dalton and I have is we have three and four swapped here. RB3 for me is Ohio State's Trevion Henderson. Henderson. I have mixed up Hampton and Henderson.
He has great hands.
He does have great hands. So, which is funny because I think that's true, but then maybe it was because it was cold in that Tennessee game, but when he caught that wheel route, I was like, oh, dude, you scared me the way you reeled that ball on the sideline. Might have been just because the ball was a rock. But yeah, Trevion Henderson catches a ton of passes out of the backfield. They utilize him in space very often. That end of the half touchdown against Texas is an excellent example of that. It was like, we need to hit a home run here, get some momentum back, see if something sparks here at the end of the half. And I don't think they were thinking that would hit a home run, but I was like, I think they were thinking if we can get 20 yards here, we could potentially get into range where we can kick a field goal. And they broke it the whole way. So again, he had that hairline fracture as a sophomore. Now, as a senior, it looks like, man, this guy's all the way back. And because he missed some time as a sophomore, and because they brought in Quinshon Judkins to split carries with him, his the tread on his tires isn't all that worn down. Again, the hairline thing has to check out because those hairline fractures can linger. They can linger. I understand that, but like I'm not factoring in injury potential into my grading scale. Like that would be impossible to try to do. But yeah, even running between the tackles, dude, this guy is as gifted as a jump cutter as anybody in the class. This guy's as gifted as bursting through. I think his contact balance is probably just average to slightly above average. But I think we saw in the playoffs, man, he was running through arm tackles pretty much at will. That Tennessee game was a clinic in doing that and chunking out plays all the way to the end zone, honestly, breaking through like two or three arm tackles on one of those runs there. Something that I love about Omarion Hampton, this class, that I also think has that I've been missing, other than, again, his eyes stay active at the second and third level as well. Very detailed Henderson? Runner. Yes. Yes.
You said Hampton again.
I did Hampton again. Yeah. Henderson. Yeah. Eyes stay active as he's climbing. A lot of these guys aren't beating defenders to the edge that I've been watching. Henderson is consistently beating guys to the edge as well. So this is where, for me, like, I think the clear cut top three, and this is what separates Henderson from Hampton for me, is that creativity. Once you do get to that second, get to that third level in the passing game, get to the boundary, where Hampton, when he gets there, yeah, like, I think his eyes do stay active a little bit when he gets there, but there's a certain point where he's like, all right, if anybody's in my way, I'm just gonna run over. Like that's his game. His ankles are a little bit tight too. So like, that's his game, and I'm not expecting him to be as fluid as Travion Henderson or make guys miss in the open field the way that Henderson kind of can. But I think that's the difference is that level of creativity that Henderson has to legitimately create lightning in a bottle off of a swing or a screen and take it 80 yards. Again, can this guy be a bell cow at the next level? I don't know, because he was only asked to touch the ball 12 to 15 times a game, but how many running backs at the NFL level, unless you're Saquon Barkley or Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry, that have been asked to carry the ball 25, 30 times a game? It isn't, or Josh Jacobs, throw him in there too, sure. But it's not a super frequent thing at the NFL level. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs went in the first round, and I think Travion and Jahmyr Gibbs could play a similar role. Like, if somebody drafted Travion to do like what Gibbs does for Detroit, I think that would make a lot of sense. Do I think he's going to go first round like Todd McShay said? No, I don't think so. But this guy's RB3 for me, and I have a second round grade on him, and I think he should probably go in the top 64.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever evaluated. And for me, it's kind of the evolution of my evaluation of him. Mm-hmm. Willing in pass protection, mirrors rushers well, squares them up. He's not afraid to fire hands into the chest. He picks his battles well and chop trees down when it's necessary to chop trees down. Later in my notes, might actually be the best pass protector I've ever watched. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even mention that. Yeah, I didn't even mention that.
It is what it is. He's unbelievable, honestly. Only one fumble in nearly 600 rushes, so he takes care of the ball as well. The foot fracture is going to be something that needs to be taken into consideration and looked at in Indianapolis. I said that he's a finesse runner who lacks pop in his pads as a downhill runner in shorter yardage mm-hmm. situations. Now, he can run through arm tackles, but that's not really going to be his game at the next level, I don't think. He just doesn't play, and this isn't to his detriment per se, but he doesn't really play with that kind of violence to consistently fall forward and pick up extra yards. For me, what I like to see in guys is the ability to, this is what the kind of the difference between, not even really the difference, actually it's the same, I think bend for a running back is incredibly important, and it's something that doesn't get brought up very much. And I think Travion Henderson, out of everybody in this class, even JT, Henderson has the most, where you can turn a corner at 100% full chap. You are foot to the floor and you are able to turn, outrun an angle, and stay in bounds. And so many guys have to gear down and kind of stutter to get their hips where they need to go. I see guys make incredible jump cuts to hit backside on wide zone. It's fantastic. I love seeing it. But if you're already gearing up and you're able to just bend and flip your hips at full speed, you're going to outrun that guy at the second level instead of having to run through his leg, or instead of having to run through an arm tackle or get around his legs. You're going to be able to outpace that guy if you are already running when you get there and you don't have to restart the process after a jump cut. That's what Henderson can bring, that ability. On top of just, like you said, being a fantastic receiver, but unbelievable pass protector. And yeah, love him. Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the bend thing. I'm a huge proponent that no trait spans out every single position of football the way that hip flexibility does. Like if you cannot throttle, if you do not body control fluid hips, like I have a hard time being super, super in on you as a player. So I'm really glad that you brought that up as well. For Hampton, my four, all the same things that you said. Again, the main difference is I do think he's tight in the ankles. Once he makes that one cut, that's
I don't think it's the difference, because I'm the same way with you. He graded out better.
Yeah.
And we'll have a conversation off air about all this, but yeah, I'll get to that.
Yeah. But that's why he's four for me. And then our running back five, Dalton, was kind of a surprise to both of us, but we both turned on his tape and we're like, wait a second. And I think the NFL could have some pause because there have been some durability issues with him throughout his career. So I think that could give the NFL a little bit pause, but we were both also surprised that the guy's never rushed for 1,000 yards in a season. And he declared as a true junior. And so we both were like, why? But we watched his tape and we're in consensus here that this is running back five for us.
Yeah. And this is Georgia's Trevor Etienne. Impressive natural feel for making the first guy miss. His ability to manipulate the first guy is outstanding. Again, he's not as big as JT is, but he's that sawed off 5'8", 202 pounds. Like, I love that build in a running back. If you are able to play with the explosiveness and fluidity that I need a guy to play with. And a lot of times these smaller guys are really explosive, but have trouble swiveling, have trouble with their ankles sometimes. They play more north-south. That is not Trevor Etienne. I think that he is not as explosive, particularly in the long speed category, as his brother is. I think Travis is faster, but that first, second level burst that Travis had in spades, Trevor has it too. I said he displays a parabolic camera in space. He sees everything. He's got one of those 360 over the top things with him. And that's, again, that we talk about, that second, third level ability to see guys and make guys miss. I'm a bodybuilding guy, so like compact frame, impressive quad development, proportional calves and ankles. Like, that's another thing for me with runners. Do you have small calves and ankles? Because if you have small ankles, I worry a little bit. Naturally understands contact absorption, and he parries tackles in space. He's a willing blocker on design QB runs and in pass pros, not afraid to fight fire with fire there. Good leg drive, objective-based tackle breaker. If he needs one, he'll run right through you and get one. If he needs more or wants to try to get more, if it's first and 10, he'll try to get a little bit more creative. So situationally, he understands that as well. Makes himself a small target in short yardage situations, which allows him to pick up that extra yard or two as well. He's just a nuanced runner overall. And that's why I like him. He's not Caleb Johnson, but he's very good. There were some things, like 32 comes on the field on every single passing down. So, like, you don't see a ton of pass pro with Trevor.
And when you do, it's not very pretty.
It's not great. eyes drop. He throws his body around. But, yeah.
Not a lot of pop in his hands.
No. And I think he's a fine receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah. They just don't, they throw him swings like, yeah, and boundary.
Yes. And he's not always going 100% as a route runner, which like he's not getting the ball. In most Georgia backs outside of number 32 really has ever gotten the ball thrown to them. So it's not like something that they do very often anyways. Mm-hmm. Separation, quickness, detail, it can be there. I've seen it with him as a route runner, but he's got to be locked in a little bit more in that respect as well.
Yeah. We're on the same page here about ETN. I do think something I'll mention with his eyes that is kind of a negative. I think they're really stellar. I think he can be creative with his aiming points.
He's a little quick sometimes.
He's a little quick to bounce sometimes. But what I do like about Trevor Etienne compared to some other running backs that I watched also from the SEC today, who is in some people's top five, but not either of our top fives. Running backs can get really rigid with their aiming points sometimes. And if the aiming point isn't clear, they'll just lower their shoulder and be like, well, this is my aiming point and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to drive through it. I think it's kind of like quarterback play as well. Like, yeah, you want your quarterback to be able to play a little bit of hero ball, but you don't want them to exclusively play hero ball, but you also don't want them to be a complete robot. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of running back and aiming points is kind of the same conversation. Like if it's inside zone, I think Trevor Etienne does a good job of feeling out how does that inside heel of my play side guard look, but he's not committed to that. And his eyes are always looking for the backside in case it's not clear, where some running backs are like, well, that's my aiming point. I'm heading to the backside, like the back heel of my play side guard. So if it's not there, I'm going to put my head down and just kind of go for it. So that's a lot of creativity at that first level, Sean, from Trevor Etienne that I really, really love as well. Again, I think he does keep his eyes up and he works second, third levels extremely well as well. The tendency to be a little quick to bounce is one thing with his eyes that I did point out. The short area quickness to make defenders miss in a phone booth is tremendous. Tremendous from Etienne. Again, there's not many backs in this class who are going to make defenders look really silly in the open field. And I think Etienne falls into that category as well. Like, I don't think there is a running back who is that overly fluid in this class that they have the ability to cut on a dime and make a defender completely whiff in the open field. I haven't seen it yet. So he kind of falls in that category as well. And then the
long there's the guy. There's a guy.
Okay.
There's a guy. He's just not good at anything else.
Oh, okay. Cool. We'll get there eventually. I'm on board. His contact balance is good enough. Again, has a compact level of the center of gravity that he can just be able to get into guys' chests. So it makes him a tough dude to bring down on first contact. Even if I don't think his contact balance is extraordinary, like he's not working through contact at a hard level, he's a tough dude to bring down on first contact. I loved it. He only has 371 career carries. Ashton Janti had 371 carries this year alone. Mm-hmm. So that speaks a little bit to his durability issues, but also that he's always been in rotations at Florida and at Georgia. And especially this year at Georgia, they had Nate Frazier, that freshman phenom they brought on the field a lot. Cash Jones, the receiving back out of the backfield on third down. So his legs are really fresh. Legs are really fresh. Again, can his body hold up, though, because he has had some durability issues in his career. But yeah, Trevor Etienne from Georgia, both of our running back fives here.
I don't have anything else. I really enjoy the top five of this class. I think that there's a lot of versatility in the top five. I mean, I think they're all three down guys, which is really important. I think you can teach Trevor to be a little bit better in pass pro. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Johnson, I don't see it being an issue at the NFL level. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll learn.
I think that's one thing to look at when we're talking about pass pro as well, is like, do they at least know their assignment and is their body in the gap it's supposed to be? And with both of those guys, the answer is predominantly yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I think all these guys can be three down guys. I think they can all be 20 carry guys in the NFL as well, if you need them to be. And I think each and every one of them is able to create explosive plays, which is big. I can see a world where all of these guys end up making a Pro Bowl at the NFL level. So really good top five. I think it falls off a little bit after this.
Yeah, it sure does. It
becomes more niche. It becomes more, but it's also a lot of fun because I think now it starts to become, well, I'm going to pick this guy to do this in my offense.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick this guy to do this in my offense. And when you are grading for 32 teams, it's completely different than if you were grading for, you know, one team, the Browns, the Cowboys, it doesn't matter. They all have what they want in a guy. Mm-hmm. And that might be my RB14 compared to them picking him fifth or sixth off the board. It better not be fifth because I do think those top five guys should go for five taken. But after that, it's pick your poison, man. And we'll get to the rest of the class. I think there's still a lot of fun to be had, still a lot of fun to talk about. And I have a mea culpa that I will talk about on Monday as well.
Ooh, love it. Awesome. Well, that's it for our first episode of the draft rankings, positional rankings here. And again, we'll do at least 10 running backs total we'll talk about. We'll get into that on Monday when we come back. But that's it for this episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Again, appreciate all of the love and support. You guys have any questions? Both of our DMs are open, I believe, and we're both more than willing to have any conversation that you're willing to have as well. So that's about it for this episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Goodbye.